Welcome back to another episode of the Bailing, Scouting and Barbecue podcast. We've got a nice guest today. Gee, Dan, you've gone to that pretty quickly. Man. welcome, everyone. I've got a few watching and listening already, so that's actually been really quick. I hope we're all well. Very excited, and I want to thank everyone who listened to the last episode. Had really good feedback with Jason Selms' episode. Jason's an icon on the podcasting hunting community, so it was really good to see Jason in there having a chat and talking about his new adventures, his lawn mowing stuff. Very cool. Check it out. I've put a link in the description on that conversation. But yeah, another thing I want to mention is a couple of the podcasters have been pretty busy lately. So Send It Mate podcast is back. Make sure you check out their stuff. A big one I want to talk about is Maddie's Hunting and Beyond, Australia Hunting and Beyond podcast. Had a really, really good podcast the other day talking about the deer management plan with a guy called Jake. Now, I'm not going to say too much into it, but some really alarming things that came out. I'm not going to get into it too much. I've actually got Maddie coming on in a few weeks, and I've got Dan from Eureka Outdoor coming on in a few weeks after that. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about the deer management plan coming up. So I'll shut up. I just wanted to say check out those podcasts and also Zach's podcast as well, the Hunting Connection podcast. I'm going to put them all in the link below, guys, so when you see it, you'll know who I'm talking about. Some really good podcasts that come out recently. Check them out. Support everyone doing it. All right. I've got Daniel from Hunting High Country Gear, okay? Dan, we'll call him Dano Hutz, as his Instagram Instagram tag is, but high country hunting gear. thanks, Dan, your shirt. Now, this fella, he's very well regarded. He's been around quite a while. I've had a lot of people message me saying, great to get him on. High country hunting gear is some quality gear, but also it's a quality person behind it. The man can shoot some seriously good stags. I'm very jealous. So hopefully you can tell me a secret or two on how to do that. But we'll get him on, okay? G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself? Thanks for the intro.
That's all right, mate. I stuffed it up there a bit, but that's okay. We'll keep pushing through it. Mate, so quickly, before we all start, whereabouts are you located? Don't obviously give us your GPS spot, but whereabouts you're located and what do you do for work?
Yeah, so I'm located in northeast Victoria, so basically on the border of New South Wales and Victoria, just near the Murray, just about half an hour out of town, on a family farm. And then for a day job, I work in town there. I'm a plumber by trade, but I actually do the air conditioning side of it. So what I do is, I've lucky enough got off the tool, so I'll just do the quoting side of it now. So basically just go out to someone's home, measure up for some air conditioning, what they're looking for, what they're suiting to the home, and then basically just size up for what they need, which it's a good job. I enjoy it very much, and there is a lot of benefits on the side of it as well. Like they look after me pretty well in work vehicles and things like that, so it's pretty flexible. So I've been doing that for nearly 10 years now, and it's been going pretty good. So.
How are you managing it with the leg, mate? You're going to have to tell us what happened there. How's that all going?
Well, at the minute, not too well, because it's so what happened was 2 weeks ago, the game before the grand final, to make it into the grand final, for local footy, I bloody, in the second quarter, in a tackle, someone stood on my foot and broke four bones in my right foot. So obviously that's limited being able to drive. So at the moment, I'm currently being chauffeured around by the missus, which is very lucky to be fortunate to have someone that will drive me around. So to and from work, obviously. And then at work, just sitting at the desk, I can't really go out much unless the boys give us a lift to a job for a quote or whatnot. But just missed out on footy. We played the grand final on the weekend. The guys got up, which was good.
Good.
So a few days on the piss this week. Got back to work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it was good. So it was unfortunate not to play, but it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm glad to see the team get up. So we've done it back to back now, 2 years in a row.
Very good.
Don't know what I'll do next year. I'll come back or not. So.
Does it dig into your hunting season, mate, at all?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I reckon I might give it the miss next year potentially, because it's just so much time. Like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. You got to train twice a week and play. There's 3 days gone. And like Saturday and Sunday is usually pretty sore. Like, depending on the season, in the time of year, you can get out before footy.
Yeah.
Like in the mornings and that. But now, like, because the days get shorter and whatnot, it gets a bit harder. So I think I'm not 100% sure yet to see how my rehab goes like, but I think I'll just hunt flat out next year, because I've done that at the start of the year. Obviously, a lot of success and a lot of animals hunted, and then I haven't done much since because I've been actually torn ligaments in my left ankle mid-year. So that was 6 weeks off, and then rehab and recal for that. And then I've done my right foot just as I was coming good again. So I do want to focus on hunting because I haven't done much since the start of the year.
If you've had a rough season, that's horrible. That's both legs. So you might have to give 12 months off and concentrate on the hills.
Yeah, that's what everyone get too old for footy anyway.
Yeah, that's rough, mate. I'm sorry to hear that. That's but in saying that, if you do, at least you'll have plenty of time, 12 months to concentrate on finding hills and getting those deer.
The first 4 months of the year, I probably got more hunting in than people do in a whole year anyway. So I'm fortunate that I was hunting flat out at the start of the year before footy season started anyway. So I haven't missed out as much, but I'd be doing it flat out if I could without the injuries. Yeah.
How do you find the fitness difference, mate?
Like footy and then like hiking up the hills and that? Or
Yeah,
it's a lot different because obviously you can be bush fit, you're walking and whatnot, but then footy fit's different because you're running and agility and whatnot. So it's a different sort of fitness. But both kind of come in comparison with each other. You're still moving, you're still running. So if you're doing one or the other, you're still going to be somewhat fit. But footy's different because you're running a lot quicker. It's a lot faster pace. Yeah. So it does help you more so in the hills by playing footy, I think, being that kind of fit. Or if you're doing something outside of walking up the hills,
I've always thought getting back into my shoulders are wrecked, but if I do a bit of a backpack hunt, my shoulders are wrecked for days after. I thought if I got back into footy, and I just thought if I get one serious hit, I'm gonna be out like a light. My body isn't recovering as fast as it used to, so I think I'll just stick to trying to run and trying to get fit as possible by the gym. So I think mate, I'll get into these questions. I've sent them to you. I really appreciate you coming on, and had a lot of people message me saying that they're super keen to hear your story and how it all started for you. Wyoming Country Hunting Gear. Before we get out, how did you get that name? It's a great name. So the countryside you're in is perfect. So
yeah,
can you give us an idea?
Yeah. So basically, like, we're half an hour from the Big High Country. So like, when I picture like hunting and whatnot, like I feel that like the name captures perfect. Like, it's the high country. Like, it's what you think when you're chasing. Like, Sambody is the most deer I chase most of the time, and obviously fallow and reds and that. But when I think of like high country, I picture like the rolling hills, the big faces where the Sambar, the gullies, all that kind of stuff. That's kind of what you would see on my Instagram, like those logos that I've made with like the stag in the river. And that's just everything I envision for like the high country. And that's kind of where the name kind of come around. So it was one morning before work. I was just talking and thinking, like, I just want to do something of my own. Just, it's such a big passion of mine. I want to be able to just create something from it. And then I was just that logo itself I made myself just in the morning before work and just put some things together, just some ideas, and that's kind of how it came about. Yeah, which was, I think it was 2021, maybe 2020, 2021 is when I first started.
It's taken off because you see it everywhere. I saw Graham from 24/7, was it 4WD? I don't know how many times that mob's changed their names, but saw Graham from them. You know who I'm talking about. Yep. He He was using his stuff the other day. Everyone.
Yeah, it's funny that. He wears it, and then he has some stickers in his ChopWire62, and people message me all the time. They're like, "Oh, do you know this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I talked to Graham Bell. He's actually a really nice fella. I almost had him up here for a hunt this year, chasing some fella and reds. But he's a ripping fella. So yeah, like he's not sponsored or anything. What's that? Yeah. Sorry,
is he a bow hunter? Isn't he?
Yeah, he does a bit of bow hunting. He does a bit with Toby Hines, I think, which is pretty cool. So he doesn't get it as much because obviously he's traveling Australia doing videos and whatnot for his job. But nearly had him up here this year. Might try again next year. But he's a cracking fella.
Yeah. No, he seems like a ball of energy. He'd be you'd learn a lot off him just by, sitting around camp talking to him about camp setups and gear and that obviously he's. He set it down as a pretty good business, trying out new equipment and stuff like that. It'd be a great job to have. I just don't know if I could be on the road all year round.
For sure.
Tough gig. I'm going to do some questions for you. I'm going to try and do as quick as I can because believe it or not, we're already at 10 minutes. So I've got the quick fire questions. What would be your dream hunt?
I thought about this one. It'd have to be something in New Zealand. I think probably, like, I'm going over there next year, but not for the dream hunt. But it'd be, I reckon, chasing tar up of those hills on the snow line there would be pretty cool. I think that'd be up there with the bucket list item for sure.
Yeah. Nah, I've just come back from there a few months ago, and I've, if my accountant just said, didn't tell me to settle down, I would have booked another hunt by now. I just want to go back. It's especially driving from where I was, Greymouth, all the way up to Queenstown, just watching the glaciers it's just so beautiful. Yep. I could just spend so much time up there. So, sure. Maddie, who recently came on the podcast, must love walking. Yeah, mate. The Vic boys like walking. Us Queenslanders, we're too fat and lazy and sit in the buggy. So we're catching pigs too easily. mate, what's your go-to gun?
Depends what I'm doing. I love – this is another one of your questions. What's the first gun? I've got a CZ-17 HMR with a wood stock. I got that. That was my first gun, and that's a unreal gun, just sort of taking out shooting rabbits and foxes and that. Go-to, obviously, hunting. I was fortunate enough to win, I think it was last year or the year before – through the Murray Valley 88 branch was a Sauer 7mm Red Mag.
Oh, yeah.
And I've shot everything with that. I've shot Samba, Reds, Hoggies, me fellow. It just doesn't miss a beat. It's an unreal gun. Obviously, running the Swaro Z6i with the ballistic turret illuminated reticle. And it's just, you can't fault it. Just running a 150 grain.
Yeah.
It just seems to pull up everything. I can't fault that gun whatsoever.
No, I don't own one. I went out with the mate 2 weekends ago and he shot a ball with a 7 Rem Mag and oh Jesus.
It's such a good gun. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It just puts them down, and I know a lot of people go, it's overkill. Who cares? If it's overkill, you're doing the job ethically. It's going, you're getting the job done quickly and safely. So, but
yeah, it's funny that though, because a lot of blokes said that when I went to Snake Island, like they asked what I was taking. I said that they're like, oh, that's going to punch through for sure. And when I shot me Hoggy, dropped him on the spot, not run at all.
Yeah.
The previous time I had a 308. Ruger American, and that was the same. Obviously, I shot that at a lot short distance. It was about 15 meters, where this one this year was about, 135 meters, 150 meters or something like that.
Yeah.
Just drop them on the spot, because that's something you don't want them to do, is obviously hit them and run into those tussocks, because they're so long, you won't find them. Yeah. A lot of guys do lose those deer, but no, I never had a problem. Shot placement's a big thing, but you run a lower grain on the gun like that, they seem to do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I've just got a question came in from Katie Gearan, who's been on the show before. What's the secret to drawing hoggy tags? Very good question there, Katie. I've never actually entered it. I thought about it, but my accountant's put an end to that. But it's just a ballot, isn't it, mate? comes up every year.
It's just a luck of draw, to be honest. It's $25 a ticket. You can only get one ticket, one entry. That's it, which is good because it stops people that have a lot of money or power to get lots of tickets. So honestly, it's just pure luck. I don't buy a lot of tickets. I buy hog deer tickets, so that's where I win them. So I save you pennies where I can. But yeah, pure luck. You just got to end up being it to win it. I was with a guy that had entered for 30 odd years or however long it's been around and only got drawn this year. So it's just, you've got to be in it to win it. Fortunately, I've been twice. I know a lot of people have been twice as well. And it's just pure luck, yeah. I think.
Well, Cody thinks it's rigged, but I think he's entered eight times. I had a chat to him about it over Instagram, and poor old Cody's missed out eight times. So, what do you know where that $25 goes, mate? Like you're putting $25 into it. Is that going to any causes, right?
I believe, I'm not 100%. I believe it goes to the Blonde Bay Advisory Group. So that's Sunday Island. So they organise it all. They have programs for managing the deer and all that kind of stuff, to the research. I believe that's where it's go, but don't hold me to it because I'm not 100%. But that island there is unbelievable because you go there before you go to Snake Island. So they do a briefing and all that kind of stuff. So you learn about hog deer and the island and that. It's fucking unreal. I definitely recommend
it. Could you run us through what happens, mate? Could you like just give us a bit of a rundown on your trip?
Yep. So for instance, if you draw for Snake Island or any of the areas, Blonde Bay and Bull Pool or whatever they are, I can't remember off the top of my head. But so they offer you to go to Sunday Island. So you go there, I think it's for two or three days. And it's next to Snake Island. So basically it's kind of like a resort for the hog deer, and people have like huts and stuff there. And all the research that they've done for hog deer in Australia is all there on the island. So they've got like Ron Mays, which has done the research on them for the last, I don't know, 30 or 40 years or something like that. So they have some penned ones there as well. So they can manage them to see how long they age, and they keep all their jaw bones for research for age and like genetics. Which is pretty cool. But they also do a ballot on that island as well for people that are members of that island, which is quite hard to be a part of, I think, because they only have about 60 or something like that, which is pretty cool. But, it's a really cool island. I learned so much there, and I was really appreciated that I went. I didn't go this year because I'd been before because it's such a long drive to it. But I definitely would be going if you got drawn for any of those periods. I'd highly recommend going. I think that's what helped with the success for myself on the islands.
Yeah, I had a chat to Zach from the Hunting Connection podcast, and we spoke about it because did he go with you? Was that the same trip? Was he with you?
He went the period after me. Yeah, I gave him some good pointers and whatnot, and where to go and what to try. And he was successful. And he'd done a good job, and just done what you got to do. You got to sit and wait. You can't hunt them. You just sit and wait. Got to go in the right areas and just do that, and you're going to be successful most of the time.
No, it's
especially early
period. That's a I've never even seen a hog deer. So that's the hog deer there you got there, mate. I believe, is that right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's this year's. Yep, that was this year's.
Do they taste as good as everyone talks about?
Yeah, they are a good tasting little animal, I think, because they're so small and not as gamey. But I don't find venison gamey anyway.
Yeah.
But they're a good tasting to hear.
No, well, thanks for letting tell us about that, because you're the first person I've ever talked to who's been over there other than Zach. So I was always wanting to know that.
Yep.
You answered my first gun question. What's your favorite cooking dish?
Talking non venison related would probably be just like your original palmy, chips and salad. Can't beat a good palmy. That's the main meal when I go to a pub. Venison related, I do like a crumb schnitzel cooked in like the fry pan with some nice lard. That's nice and simple, easy dish. But then I just made some salamis. We do a lot of sausages, hamburgers, all that kind of stuff throughout the year. We do a big sausage day where we do anywhere from 80 to 150 kilos of snags.
Jeez.
For a few of us. We might do a jerky day and all that kind of stuff. So, it's good in everything. I don't not locking in Vich.
Yeah. Are you a member of a club at all, mate?
Yeah, yep. So I'm a member of the local, so it's Australian Deer Association. So the local one is the Murray Valley branch, which is good. I've been a lot more involved now this year, probably last year, just trying to help promote it, get more people involved. Because we're in a rich deer hunting area, but and there's just not the members you think there would be. Like you look at those Melbourne branches, there's a couple hundred people there where we don't have that kind of capacity here, which is odd. So trying to help promote it and do a bit more, obviously share a bit on my socials if you've seen it, just to try to bring more people in and just get more people around, because there's still a lot of old people that go, like the older guys, and they've got so much knowledge and wealth, and that's why I started going, because you just learn so much from them, and they take you out. Like they're willing to teach and tell you anything, which is like some of that facts and information they have is worth like millions to someone that doesn't know that kind of stuff. You can't just go out and learn it. I really like getting around that. We do branch hunts, which is pretty cool. We've got a night coming up mid-October, I think it is. And we're doing like a buy, swap, sell night, which is cool. So everyone's bringing all their old hunting gear and swapping and selling it. Just little things. Or we're going to the hunt shop to do a night. So they do giveaways like a gun and all this stuff to help bring people in. So yeah, it's bloody good. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I always, in my mind, I'd love to just do a branch hunt with the old fellas, and you just have cameras on every single person.
Oh yeah,
you pick up the stuff. You'd just be, the old fellas just talk, and they might let something knowledgeable slip, and it'd be just good to have that little bit of knowledge. Oh yeah, he said that. It'd be just the brains behind, especially. The country you're hunting, the Samba deer, I have no idea about it. It's just they talk about them like they're ghosts, basically.
That's right. But it's funny though, like a lot of those guys have hunted Samba for 30, 40 years, and no one would even know who they are. They don't have social media. They don't have any of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even know who they are, and they're the ones that know everything about it. Where you got these social media people that are trying to promote these kind of things. It's like, they're the ones with the knowledge. They're the ones you need to learn off.
Yeah.
They're not on socials.
I know exactly what you mean, mate. My dad's best mate's probably the best hunter I've seen for peak hunting with dogs and stuff. And, I would never go there with a camera. You just the amount of knowledge you'd pick up, because you'd miss too much. It's just the amount of little things that you've got to just be in the moment. And like, I'll never forget when I was with Dad, with him when I was younger, he'd go, oh, whose dog prints are those? And that he knew his own dog prints, like, and he has five or six dogs running around, and he knew which dog was where and the prints of especially if you're chasing a pig and you go, oh, that dog's over there because that's its, it's incredible. Yeah. I love that stuff.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
Turn the camera off, turn the mics off, and just shut up and learn. It's
just enjoy it. Yeah.
That's it. Mate, how did you get into hunting? Is there someone that, got you into it, or it just, how did you get into it? Is it an early stage, or did you come into it late?
Hunting in general, pretty early on. Like, always used to go out to cousins or mates' place at properties and just go hunting rabbits and whatnot. But not deer, probably not till I was about 16, where I first got a bow and was running around. Wasn't successful, just trying to run around, bashing through the bush, trying to shoot deer, which never happened, until I turned 18 and got my gun license. And then, my cousin started taking me out, which was pretty cool. So started to learn it. He was pretty new in it as well, so we're kind of learning together and just going out. And then I just remember the first time I got that deer. It was a Samba deer, first time it was a doe, and it's just, I think it was February, so it was pretty freaking hot. And just the adrenaline rush, I still remember it to the day, like exactly shooting it, and it's just the heart was going through the bloody chest. And I reckon since then I've been going out freaking flat out. Like a lot of people say, you're not good at things until you've done 10,000 hours. I've done that tenfold in a short period of time, just because I was going out freaking every weekend, every day. Like in the start of this year, I was going out 6 or 7 times a week. Putting in the hours, trying to learn. Like I haven't done it like those guys for 30 years. But I've done what some blokes might hunt once a month or once every couple of weeks. I'm doing every day as much as I can to try and catch up, learn as much as I can, get better at this hobby I have. But yeah, it all revolved around my cousin, which he then actually dropped out of it because he shot actually a quite a good stag, and that was kind of it. That was his pinnacle, and he's like, "Oh, I don't need to hunt anymore." And then that's where it kind of continued. The obsession started. I just kept going flat out, and then started going to these deer associations and meetings and all this kind of stuff to meet people, Snake Island, all that kind of stuff, to meet people around the hunting community, just to learn bits and pieces from people and just put more tricks into the trade, into my toolbox, and learn more and get better. But you can't be good at things unless you put the time in. Like a lot of, like I don't record or video 90% of the stuff I do. Like I'll get out freaking flat out and I'll only put a small snip up. There's a lot of people that are the same. So they don't see what's behind.
Talking about what's behind it. So you're hunting that much. What are the signs you're looking for? Like, are you hunting the same area 7 days a week, or are you you going to different spots and just looking for fresh sign? What's your method towards it all?
Yeah, usually it depends what time of year it is. So say for instance, from Feb onwards, I'm start looking for rut and raw areas. I'm looking for what does are in areas so the bucks will come into, because a lot of the spots I have the bucks don't, and reds don't come in till near the rut. So I'm working out all those areas of where they're going to be, setting up cameras, find out where they are. So I don't shoot much then. That's why I've only, like, I've shot a couple good deer, but could have shot 30, 40 deer in that time. But I'm just managing, seeing what's coming and going, just looking at areas to focus on when this rut comes. And that's why I pull the trigger, boom, I'm shooting deer quick, because I know what's coming, what's going. I know the area to focus on in, blocks that I've got access to, or private areas and public areas to manage. So you're not trying to hunt this massive hill or all these different areas. So you're focusing on an area. I do change between different areas, or it depends if I'm with mates. But yeah, you're focusing on trying to pattern the deer a little bit, because they're doing the same thing every time, every year. Like before the rut, the does are feeding together. The bucks are starting to come in, following the does. They're getting out of their bachelor mobs, starting to make a few scrapes and areas, and focus on where they're going to be for the rut, basically, because it does change every year. Not too much, but yeah, you got to find out where they're going to be, because you don't want to, like the rut, say it's fully 2 weeks a year. You don't want to miss it or be in the wrong area. Like they might be over the next property on the next face or something like that, and you're in the wrong spot. So you're like, oh, they didn't even rut this year. Well, you weren't in the right area.
So for those, just say for example, we're looking at February, we're about to rut. When does Samba rut, and what's the difference between the Samba ruts, the fallow ruts, and the red ruts? Just try and, in your high country where you are, what time of year are the ruts coming? What are you looking for? And do you use trail cams?
So for the reds, depending on areas, but it's usually late March, early April. And then it all depends on the weather and if there's a frost and things like that. But they're still going to rut and cycle and all that kind of stuff, but just depends on the weather. The colder it is, the more vocal they're going to be. So the fallow, they're more like I find the 12th's pretty good, but anywhere from that first to second weeks is good for the fallow rut around in my area. And then Sambarha, they don't have a rut. Like some people say, I don't know. I've always thought August, September, depending on the areas. If you're higher up, it could be later or earlier. Like I shot that stag this year in February, and he was in hard velvet, where I had other ones on my camera that were in fully soft velvet with like knobs this big. So it depends on the area, depends on the stag, depends. So a Samba doe could cycle whenever they want. So that stag could come on rut for a week and then go off again if there's a doe in cycle in that area. So they're a tricky one to hunt in the rut, because they don't really have one. They don't make noises. They do cycle. They do wallow a lot more in different times. But I find if you had a time to want to hunt Samba, it'd be probably August, September. November is a good time too, before it starts to warm up. but yeah. I found August, September personally is pretty good.
Yeah. I had a fella on a few months ago, and he was talking about he hunts more towards that end of the year. With his dog. So I had Rob Lambert come on.
He's a great fella. Yep.
Yeah, fantastic guy. He's just come back from New Zealand as well. So I've got a message in how he went. I'd be keen to see how he went. So
He's a ripper fella. Has some really good dogs as well. He puts a lot of work in as well. A guy gets a lot of result, but he puts a lot of time in.
Do you use dogs at all, mate?
Yeah, so I've got a pointer as well, and that's also that you would have seen a stag photo. So that's the first stag I shot off her, and it was a big one. So I was pretty lucky because she was on full point at it.
Yeah.
So she's only young. She's only about 16 months old. So I'll lose deer to her. I find deer off her. It's just at a young age. She's just a bit excited at the moment. But yeah, I take her out flat out because that's the only way she's going to learn. So I've probably lost a lot of deer to her that I would have necessarily shot. But I want her to get pretty good. I want to put that time in. So I'm taking her out every time I go out. So I'll go out sometimes and don't see deer for 5 weeks, and then I'll see shitloads of deer. It's just the luck of it, trying to learn her patterns, how she's moving and whatnot, trying to learn her signs, and she's trying to learn with me. And, it's all a learning curve because I haven't hunted with a dog before.
Yeah.
But I'll start taking her out at 10, 12 weeks.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Our friend Matty Wright sent me a comment today saying he taught you all you have to do about dogs. So
he absolutely did. He's 100% right. I was calling him every freaking week saying, what do I do here? What's this? Is this bad? Is this good? And he's like, no, that's all right. No, if you need to know anything about dogs, you definitely flick him a message. He knows all of it about bloody deer hunting dogs. So.
Yeah. Are you close to him? Is he in Melbourne or near where you are?
So he's about an hour up the road. So
So
he moved up from, I think, Phillip Island or somewhere that way. And we get along really bloody well. We catch up all the time. We're hunting reds flat out this year.
Yeah.
He comes up here for a beer every now and then and stays over, or I go up to his joint. Yeah, we catch up pretty regularly. Yep.
I could tell he peppered me this afternoon, so I'll let it go, the other stuff. So sorry, Matty, I'm gonna I know I was gonna ask you. I was supposed to ask you about him guiding you with the phone. So I was supposed to do it all seriously, but I can't do it to you. You're on a roll, so sorry, Matty. You can abuse me as much as you want and give me.
Matty doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
No, I love the passion with dogs. It's really cool that you started. Have you ever hunted with – you said you hunted with bow. Do you hunt with bow anymore, or is it just mainly rifle?
I did over the rut. It was fucking tricky. I had my dog. She was only young. She wasn't even 12 months old. And then a bow. So I was in all sorts. I could have shot deer, but I was trying to shoot something half decent.
Yeah.
You have to shoot one with the bow, to be honest. But, I've kind of dropped it off a bit because I hurt my wrists at footy, so I've kind of put it down for a bit. But, I definitely want to try again this rut for sure.
No, it'd be so cool to watch, watch a dog, the whole thing. If I could survive walking up one of those hills, it'd be awesome to watch. I think I'd have a heart attack. I went out 2 weeks ago and died walking up a small hill, so...
That's right.
That basically led into that question was what method of hunting. So you're talking about you'd use dogs. Mate, let's talk about your business a bit. It's you've only been doing it for 2023? You've only been doing it 2 years. Nearly three. It's going bangbusters. So firstly, congratulations. I see your stuff everywhere. I'm up in Queensland and I see it up here as well. So how you spoke a little bit about before, but what's your aim with it all and what's you got a goal with it, or is it just a hobby, or you've obviously put in the passion into it and you can see it because good quality stuff. You've got the boys on board who, you got Hainsey, you got Cody, you've got Maddie, you got some really good guys promoting this stuff. So what's the go with it all? Because it's so good.
Well, the way I kind of come about it was I was just probably like most people, to be honest, sick of spending 60. I don't want to put businesses down, but say $60-$70 on a shirt, because everything I wear is associated with hunting or something outdoors or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was sick of spending $60-$70 on a shirt to wear to the pub or something like that. And that's when I thought I'll just make my own stuff and just keep it for myself and spend $30 on a shirt. That's a good quality shirt. It's hunting related, which I'm passionate about because all my stuff is hunting related, basically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it came about. And then I thought, I might as well make a business of this and try and make some good quality stuff out there, because there's a lot of cheap things out there, or you're paying big businesses, you're paying $60-$70 for the brand name, and you wash it a couple times and it's drunk. And slowly just want to transition it into something big. I do really want to design my own camouflage down the track. Yep. But my idea is to create the name and the brand first with the apparel that you can kind of wear anywhere. Yeah. It's hunting related, but it's not camouflage, because you don't want to look like a weirdo sitting in camo at the pub.
Yeah.
Just something that you can kind of wear anywhere, do things with. It still looks good. It's good quality. I support small businesses in town that I get most of my stuff from.
Yeah.
And then just kind of evolved from there. So basically it was just a hobby kind of at the start, whereas now I kind of want to fund it. So it'd be like put a lot of time in it and actually try fund hunting trips and things like that out of it.
Yeah.
Which it's getting there. I do a lot of promoting and a lot of looking after other businesses and things like that to get the name out there. So
yeah,
it's getting there. It's not quite where I want it to be at yet.
Yep.
Working on the website at the moment. That's pretty much done, because that's probably going to take it to the next level as well, because at the moment it's all for Instagram. So it's evolved very, very scalable by being just through Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just a passion, basically, that I had it in my head to put it into something. Yeah. I thought, how can I do something that I love and try and make some money out of it? If I break even, it doesn't bother me. It's just something that I love. I enjoy it. I love doing it every day, just packing kits up, sending it out, people enjoying it, giving me good feedback. I like looking after people. Someone asks for something, I just send it to them. If there's small fishing comps in town, they want to sponsor. Like, it doesn't faze me at all. I'm happy looking after people, because I know, like, it helps me a little bit. Like, obviously, it costs me money, but it doesn't faze me at all. So I like looking after other people as well. But in the long term, I do want to try and make a decent business out of it, which I think I will get there. It's just how to scale it properly and bring out the right things that people do enjoy. But eventually do a camouflage, which would be pretty cool, because there's a big market for it out there, I think, and I really want to try take advantage of that, but do it properly by not ripping people off with ridiculous price things and good quality and design right.
That's it. It's especially the camo world. The second you put camo on it, you know, you start talking hundreds of dollars, and it's
that's right. And you don't realize how much it is, until you buy another kit.
Yeah, well, that's it. I wear the Seeker gear, and I've just found it too expensive. Most of my hunting is pig hunting, but I'm wanting to get into the stalking and the high country stuff. I'm just looking for, I don't want to buy something twice. So I want to buy it once. I want to buy it properly, but I don't want to be, I don't want to be shit. So it's a hard thing.
You buy camo, you expect it to last a long time.
Yeah. So, mate, you said you're going to New Zealand. I saw you put a story up a while back, and I think you said you might be going to Stewart Island or something like that. And I was so close. I was so close to saying, I'll come. I wish I did, but I know my accountant would probably say, no, you can't. You can't afford it. So, have you ever hunted overseas, mate?
Apart from Snake Island, no, nah. Yeah, I've never hunted, outside of Australia. Snake Island doesn't really count, but no, never. So that's going to be an unbelievable trip. That we've got some ripping fellas. There's seven of us going for 16 days, 15 or 16 days, which will be freaking nuts on that island, hunting whitetail, which will be cool, a lot of fish and diving. I'm keen as for it. So that's next May, which will be bloody awesome. So I want to do that first, and then I might go back the year after and actually hunt the mainland, hunt some reds, tar, fallow, whatever. But this, I know, I kind of got the bug of islands. I done Snake Island, now I want to hunt Stewart Island. That's a bit of a passion there.
The guy I went with in New Zealand, he went, I think he's not sure if he's just going there or he's coming back. Anyway, I can't remember, but he talks about it like it's Jurassic Park. He said it's so good. The fishing, the kingfisher monsters. He said it's an amazing, amazing place. He wants to try and get me back over for a tar hunt and in a red deer hunt. And I just said, if I wasn't trying to buy a house, I'd be over there so quickly. I really hope you have a good trip because it'll be so much fun. And you make sure you take a cameraman. Designate someone to hold the camera because it's just so beautiful.
But
16 days.
Backtrack a little bit there. Sorry to cut you off. It's amazing. Like, I've never really looked into New Zealand. I always thought it was out of the budget. But if you do it all free range, do it all yourself, organize it all, it's fucking amazing what it costs. Like, flights over there, $600 there and back. That's cheap, very cheap. And you organize your own things. Like, this trip is going to cost us bugger all. Yeah. If you do it, organize it properly. Because I always thought, like, a hunt over there is going to cost you 10, 15 grand. Like, we're going to do it for probably $2,000.
Yeah.
And that's 15 days over there. Like, that's unreal. That's their back. That's everything paid for, just about. Yeah. Like, you can do it really budget. If you want a budget, you want to get over there, just talk to the right people. Organize things. Organize areas to go through. You don't have to pay for access and things to do it. Like, it's a good thing to be able to get over there. Like, I always thought there'd be no way I could afford it until I looked into it.
Yeah,
And you can really do it for next to nothing.
Yeah,
get a guide in Australia for that.
Oh, no, you wouldn't be able to get a guide for under $2,000. It's for that many days you're doing, that'd cost you thousands and thousands with a guide. So, I had a chat to Cody Gearin about this on the podcast I did with him, and he's been a few times, and ever since he's mentioned it, it's really stuck in my head, saying, you can do it by yourself. You don't need. So even the Liquid Antler, he's a Kiwi himself, but they go over and hunt the public land, and just such an awesome place.
That island there, I think it's about 12 months or 2 years booked out, so it's all public. You just got to enter that stuff.
Yeah,
like you wait longer, but that's how you got to do things, unless you want to spend 10 plus grand on hunts that are on with guides or whatever, I don't see that beneficial. I'd rather do it myself for a little cost. Like this year, every hunt's cost me nothing apart from $25 to Snake Island.
Yeah. And that's it. You'll have such a better memory because of the effort you've put in it. And, the effort that goes into it, for some reason, just feels so much more satisfying. And, when you get your binos up on that hill for the first time, I bet you it'll be just like a little mini celebration. Talking about binos, we'll have a bit of a chat about gear. What for a hunt like that, would you need special equipment, like special tents?
So the way it kind of works is they've got huts on the island. So we've got Kelly's block, so there's a hut there, which is pretty cool. So we'll stay in that. A few blokes will bring in tents because it's probably going to be pretty squishy with six or seven blokes there. A lot of the gear we're going to get over there, which is cool. It's very undergrowthy and very thick. It's quite flat, the island. So, you don't need anything special because you're not going to be looking long distances. You're only going to see, I think, 20, 30 metres in front of you. Very much similar to Snake Island. You're going to be a lot of sitting and waiting. So like the Americans do with the whitetails, they find a scrape or set up a scent and sit off it for the day or whatever it is. So I believe that's how we'll be hunting them or sitting up on a stand and just sitting and waiting, basically. Just a waiting game.
Yeah. Oh, well, it'd be pretty beautiful spot to sit there and wait, I reckon. You'd be how about the food situation, mate?
Yep. So we're going to organise like the grocery shop down there, just do a big order, get some stuff, take it over to the island. But we'll eat what we shoot and what we catch at the fish, because we've got two boats we're hiring out as well to go fishing and diving and whatnot. So we'll just live off what we're shooting and eating and catching and whatever else food we got. Canned that beans.
That sounds bloody awesome, mate. I really wish I got involved, but yeah. Like you said, two grand. I could have done it. I'm just thinking about it now, but I've got a little bit too much on my plate, sadly, and I've what's the word? Bite too much and chew like crazy. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So there'll be plenty more trips. That's all right.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Not going anywhere, so
no. What time of year you're heading over there?
Well, it's in first 2 weeks of May, which is supposed to be their rut. So okay. I think it's going to be pretty bloody good.
That'll be awesome, mate. I hope you have fun. So it's whitetail, isn't it? And there is
whitetail.
And is there there's elk across? Whoppity.
There's a small population. Yeah, small population of reds on there, I think.
The footage over there, and from what I've seen from the guy that took me over, it's a beautiful spot. So I hope you have have a lot of fun. A couple more questions, mate, before I let you go. What's your thoughts on the old thermal game these days? Is it something that you can use? Do you look into it at all, or do you do any kind of small game hunting which you can kind of use the thermal, or is it just pure deer?
Honestly, I would usually use most of my time to hunt deer. If I've got that time, I'd rather hunt deer and then hunt something else. I do the occasional, because we live on a farm, hunt foxes and whatnot. Yeah. I haven't used too much of it. I've used a little bit of the thermals and things like that. Mrs. Old Man's got a bloody unreal scope on his gun, and he took me out one night. We shot a pig, and fucking the scariest thing ever, like pulling the trigger on something that I didn't 100% know what it was pretty scary. I thought, probably not again, but they're bloody unreal, the technology that they have now, and I understand why guys do and don't use them.
Yeah,
like those harvesters that use them on properties, I completely understand, like say flicking a light around on someone's property. It's a lot cleaner, effective way to do it. It doesn't bother me at all. You do whatever suits you, as long as you're not promoting that you're shooting all these massive deer and you're using thermals and things like that you're trying to pretend you're not. But if you say you are, like if you're pretending you're not doing things in others, then I think that's wrong. But if that's how you think hunting is to you, then go ahead and do it, like, for sure. It doesn't bother me at all. Everyone has their own ways of doing things. You would hunt different to I would. Some you might think hunting with a dog's cheating, there's no different to hunting with it, say a thermal, or hunting with hounds. Like, everyone has their own way of hunting that animal. That's the way you think should be done, then I accept that. Doesn't bother me whatsoever, as long as you're not shooting off people's properties with thermals at night time and poaching deer, then I'm against all that kind of stuff. But if you're doing it by your way of legal and ethic, then doesn't offend me whatsoever.
No, that's it, mate. I put a video up recently shooting from the vehicle. Now, I said at the start of the video, we're there to do culling. We're there to cull deer. You know, Dad was there on the weekend and saw over 200 deer. It just, like, they're in plague proportions at the moment where he hunts you know, we're there to dull numbers, and we aren't even making a scratch. You know, and I say it very clearly in the movie. We shot four deer in the movie. We got one pig and a wild dog. But the place is just overrun with feral animals at the moment. And a couple of guys said, well, that's not deer hunting. And I made it very clear. It is not deer hunting. It's what you're doing with a dog or by yourself, to me, is deer hunting. What we're doing is eradication. And I plan on going back there and doing a proper deer hunt. You know, but yeah, at the same time, the farmer would rather the old boy drive around and get rid of the numbers and do. Dad shot deer there, four deer there, 3 weeks ago, and they've already been all the carcasses are basically do not exist. They've been smashed by pigs and dogs. Like the place is just overrun. So to me, what you're doing is deer hunting, and that's what I want to clear that up with a few people who have listened. So I'd rather do what you're doing, because to me that's proper hunting and hunting with hounds. That's just not the old the beagles. I'd love to watch the pointers. That would be so cool to watch. I'd love to see that happen. So,
but see, even with that, like long range shooting. See, I think that's more shooting than hunting, because I'll feel like hunting is you're there, the deer. If you break a stick, it knows you're there. With blokes are shooting deer from 1,100 metres away, don't get me wrong, that's fucking unbelievable and takes a lot of skill and practice to do, which I could never do. But I look at it as more shooting than hunting, because you could open a beer, you could do whatever you want, shoot that thing. You can watch the bloody projectile through midair and hit that animal. So there's so many different ways of it. It's whatever you believe that you think's right, you go do that. As long as you're getting out there having a crack, you're not sitting on a keyboard or computer fucking whinging about people.
That's it.
Bloody shooting. They're shooting too many deer. They must be doing this. They must be doing that. Or he's a poacher or whatever it is. At least you're out there having a fucking crack. You can't have a say, I don't think.
Talking about the long distance stuff, I'm not going to mention any names. Mine mentioned me the other day, hit education weekend with a guide person up your way. And they were speaking about long range shooting. Now, he told me that this guy is saying to shoot the animal from just say 800 to 1100 meters away. To me, that's not hunting. That's not teaching anything. You can get a scope these days, put it on the animal, and then watch your phone and basically go, okay, yeah, we're on the spot.
Well, that's what Mr. Brushby has. You can work out the calculations to what you need to set it at, and it does it for you, basically. Yes, you've got to pull the trigger, you've got to get it all right, you've got to get the windage right, all that kind of stuff. Yes, it's a lot of skill, but, I don't look at it as hunting.
But to run that through an education course, it, to me, just sounds, I'd be pretty pissed off if I was paying $500 or whatever, and I'm getting told to shoot something across a valley at 800, 1100 meters. Because for one, I know I can't do it. I'm a shit shot. I'll have met plenty of people say I am, because I know I am. It's just, to me, you're better off learning about the animal getting closer. And I say get closer, we're getting to 200 meters away where you can take an ethical shot. So.
You got to be in its zone. Is hunting so he's promoting, I assume, what, so hunting deer but shooting at long range, is that right, was what you're saying?
Well, he's promote, like, his course, from this person's course, is to promote to become a better deer hunter, and that's what they're saying, is you're gonna learn to shoot from a long range to become a better deer hunter, when you're only learning about shooting, really. You're not becoming a better hunter at all.
No, well, that's right. You don't know its movements. You don't know where it's feeding. You've just found it on a face and you've just plucked it off, which is quite easy to find. The hard bit is seeing it at 800 metres and finding out which way is the wind going, how can I get to that in time, where is it going to move to, and then take that ethical shot within 150 metres or whatever it is, and then recover the deer. Like, how are you going to shoot it from that far and then track it? A lot of those blokes, I assume, I'm not recovering the deer. I'm not too sure, because that's a fucking long way to go and back and then out.
It's a huge way, and that's why I love watching Aussie Bush Harvest, because he has that one-on-one hunting feeling. He'll sit it down, he'll spot it. Okay, we're going to work out the wind's coming from this way. We're going to go up this way and walk in, have the breeze in our face, and we're going to get up close and personal. And, you see him get bumped, he bumps deer all the time, and it's great to watch, because he's very passionate and he sits there and swears and curses. I tend to leave that stuff off camera, because it's just too it's not PG. That's hunting to me, obviously. So, mate, I really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up? The hour's near us, so Maddie, last comment from Maddie. Matt, when I organise a hound hunt up there, I'll let you know, and you can fly and we'll fly up together because it's a long way for both of us. Dan, there's nothing else you want to mention, mate?
Tell us how
we can find you and how we get onto your gear, mate, before we wrap it up.
I'm on a few things, but mostly I use Instagram. So if you ever have any questions or anything at all about hunting, or if you're not sure about anything, I'm more than happy to answer messages. So my personal Instagram is Dano_Hunts with a Z. So that's just my personal hunting page. So that's where I put all like the things I do hunting related. And then my High Country page is High Country Hunting Gear. And that's on Instagram. Also have a Facebook, and then I'm working on our website at the moment, which should be released pretty soon. But if you ever have any questions, or if you're not sure about things, or if you want to order anything, just flick us a message. I'm pretty easygoing. Even if it's somewhat deer related, if you're quite new with it, there's no silly questions. I don't think I'm pretty approachable guy. Just get out there and have a go, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's how you learn things.
That's exactly right, mate. And thank you so much. And I reckon you should build a course.
There's a lot of people that know a lot more than I do. I'm just having a crack.
No, it's really good what you're doing, mate. And I love seeing your gear around. I love seeing everyone wear it. I love your content you put on your Instagram pages. I hope someone follows you around with a camera one day and kind of sees you a bit more, and even get Matty Wright to do something a bit more useful than other than giving you the shits. So I really appreciate it.
Still can't hold a camera.
Thank you very much for coming on. This podcast, guys, will be all good, mate. It's not a problem. This potty will be out tonight, but I'll post it all out tomorrow. So everyone, that's High Country Hunting Gear. That's Dano Hunts, Dan Mitchell. Thank you very much, mate.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.